Daith da, ewi nakan. Welcome to podcast number 79. Before I start, I'd just like to thank everyone who've donated over the last week to me fund for the Alzheimer's Society when I'm running the London Marathon, 21st of April. Proper job, much appreciated. We're up to £925 now, which is fantastic because I haven't really pushed it that much and I'm not under pressure to raise money this year because I got a ballot place, as you might know. But so far, £925, really appreciate it. It's been another varied week again this week. We've had our usual trips to Glen Valley and Penmount. And then on Tuesday, I spent most of the day with Reverend Robin Thwaites. In the afternoon, we was up St. Bruard with him for a funeral. And then in the evening, we went to St. Mabon Parish Church. You might well have seen the photos on Facebook, etc. And it was the service to install him as the new rector of the Camelside Benefice. The same service really is what we had last week for Reverend Nicola Farr when she was made the rector for the Camel Allen Benefice. So slight different names there. Neighbouring parishes and that really, a lot of them. And if you heard last week's, I think I told you that it was sprung on me that I had to go up and welcome her. And I didn't know, I was a bit more prepared this week because I thought, will them ask me or no? I wasn't too sure. And I got inside the door and the first person I saw was Reverend Paul Bainan. And he come over, he said, here, you're going up tonight. And I didn't know if he was pulling me leg or no, but I was all prepared. And as last week, again, everyone went up, they just spoke quietly. So it was quite relaxed. But yeah, it was lovely. Dear Robin, we've known him now for 4 years. He'd been the curate here. And it was lovely to go to his service and to see him installed as rector. Logistically, I've had quite a challenging couple of days, really, with funerals. You may have seen in the press and on the internet that we were Tintagel Methodist Church on Wednesday, Camelford Methodist Church yesterday, with two massive funerals for two very popular and well-known people. And, of course, the logistics of doing it, the pressure, is that both the Methodist churches, we knew that we wouldn't get everybody in. So it's the case of taking our PA system. We invested a few years ago now in a real Vidi PA system and went up in the morning, set it up with wires going through in Tintagel, there was a room at the back and then went into the kitchen sort of thing. Well, they had their PA system there, their internal one, which was brilliant. So then we just then had to go off that and put speakers outside in the car park. So that was Wednesday. And then yesterday, Thursday at Camelford, again, up in the morning, set up the system, wires going upstairs because there was a room upstairs. We could get a lot of people in. A little alcove downstairs, little passageway, and there was still a good 30 people outside as well. So a lot of work goes into it, but, you know, everything went well, all went well, and we were so lucky it didn't rain. Some of you from further away, you might have heard of Tintagel before. Tis a beautiful little village, and of course, twas always connected with King Arthur. And what I will do, actually, like the old podcast years ago, I might do an episode on Tintagel in the future. It's got a lot of history, a lot of history. It wasn't always called Tintagel. I mean, that was the name for the manor, the church and the castle. But the village years ago, I'm going back, 100 years ago, more now, was still known as Trevena. Now, thankfully, it changed to Tintagel because, as you know, there's a few infamous Trevenas around. It was still known as Trevena back in 1907. But I will do a little episode on it and King Arthur and that in the future. But I think what I'll do now, we'll go over to our second part now of my interview with Jerry Chandler. And there's little bits of Betty again. I had some lovely comments last week about the first part of the interview, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this part too. So I'll hand over to they now. And then I'll speak to you directly with me rounding up like I normally do. So here it is. And where did he get married to then?
Oh, San Andelian.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Was you from out that way then, was he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Isaac.
Poor Isaac, you see.
Well, that's right. You knew her father, David Coppin.
Coppin, yeah.
You knew of him?
Yeah.
Well, you knew of him.
I knew of him, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Lovely fella, he was good as gold.
Did he have nice weather? Because you can tell when the wind's blowing up in Delian.
Oh, I think it was windy, wasn't it?
It was a bit windy, but not until it was.
I think it was. Funny thing, when Rich was down, that was... Was that before COVID or just before, or in the early days of it? And he come down and he wanted to go up around when we went up to Andelian Church. We took us for a drive and we went there in September, 28th of September. Betty said, oh, to be nice to look in the church. We was married. This is our anniversary today. And I can't remember who it was.
That was uncanny.
And we went in there at exactly 11 o'clock, I think, the time that we'd married.
We were going to Tintagel.
Yeah, we're going to...
Rich wanted to go for a drive.
Yeah, that's right.
And off we set. We got to Andelian and I said...
Oh, it was COVID, but the door was open.
Now? I said, it would be just the time we got married all those years ago, you see.
Yeah.
And we did, didn't
Fantastic.
We?
Come on, what a coincidence.
Yeah, it was coincidence, that's right.
And then obviously back to Trothias.
Yeah.
And Obbies, because I know you play in the band, didn't he?
Yeah.
From young or?
Yeah. Yes. I started up Snizzy, of course.
Yeah.
Snizzy had a band.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
I started there about 1950, something like that, early 50s, before we was married. And when Snizzy packed up, I went over to St Minburn. We played together for a little while, and I was over there for 30 years, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I had to finish. I was having difficulty seeing. Then, well, there was a lot of people from this area at one time. Four of us from this area. Well, it got that I was only one in the end, and it was a lonely old drive to because it used to take best far 3/4 hour to get from here over to St Minver band room, going down through Weybridge, see, before the bypass and all the rest of it. Yeah, and I was with from about 1977, mid-70s, until I packed up, which was just 4 years ago. It was just before COVID started, anyhow.
2019-ish, something like that.
2019, that's right. Because the last engagement was Christmas Eve.
Right.
When we went and we played over Andrew Hawkey's over Punpont in the afternoon. Always, they still do it, I think.
Yeah.
And then Rock Sending Club in the evening. And that was it. I said goodbye. And that you had to make a break sometime sort of thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. And the following February, COVID come in and it was all stopped. So it was the right time, although I bitterly regretted leaving, but I couldn't go on in any case. It wasn't a matter I couldn't play. I was never a very good player in any case, or I didn't think so. And it was the transportation of getting there sort of thing.
Exactly.
Not many people go on much into their 80s sort of thing.
No. So were you playing a lot then? Did you go to a lot of events or competitions or anything in the band?
We used to go quite a bit more than they do now. Not a lot of competitions.
No.
Not many. We did that in Snizzy. We played out Stanley's, I remember. That was the first time I was on. There was a chap called Bill Hill. He was a trumpet player with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra. This is after the war. Brilliant player he was. And I learned to play with Ian. This contest was coming up, and he looked at me. I was on third corner, back row. He said, I don't think you'll be able to do that. He said, unless you can play so-and-so, so-and-so, so. So I thought, oh, got to do this. So I got to play it, and he said, he said, you play that, and that's it. Then keep quiet. You can hold your instrument up, twiddle your vowels, but don't make a sound like, you know, sort of thing. And I don't know, we got Bill Scholes was the euphonium player from Modern Feltons at that time. Right. Modern Feltons, which is now changed their name to something else.
Yeah.
But that's what they was back in the days. Oh, it was good. But no, we had a lot of local things because they made me engagement secretary. I think it was 10 years, wasn't it, I went on. Yeah, they don't do so much now, but they are playing. But funny, I only met last Wednesday. We went in Trevisco. Carol Jonas come in, you know. Jonas come in.
Yeah.
With Jill, I think she was a Cowlin and she married a Constance or something that way around. Yeah. They used to do Sunday papers with us. And we had a chat and we talked about it because her brother, Henley Cowlin, he used to play in the band in Snizzy and Leonard Watkins and ones like that. You know, all old names. That was it. That was in Snizzy band. And of course, over in Minver, I grew up with all the Wilses and that. It was a different family. Right. But there was half a dozen of us. Went over when Snizzy finished, because Weybridge, the original Weybridge band, had packed up, and then Padster band packed up, and quite a lot of the Padster ones come up to play with us. Dave Farquhar, Raymond O'Hagan, and ones like that, and Cosh Tucker, when he died, remember these names?
I know Cosh, knew Cosh,
That's right, he was trombone player for him, and several others. And Bill Bennett was the postmaster in Snizzy.
Yeah.
He was a character, he was. The dear old chap. Never had no family. He kept a post office in there in one of the houses just this side opposite, well, not exactly opposite the Ring of Bells, but opposite this side of the turning round.
Yeah.
And they said to me one day, they said, if you ever go in Bill Bennett's post office, you'll see where he stand in a floor, and there's a little pit where he stood in the same place with his nailed shoes. And went in there, and there was this slate like this, and the pit where he stood. Poor old chap, I always remember him. But that was chief hobby, I suppose, and rail travel, of course, follow after that.
Yeah.
Anything to do with railways.
Right.
Gardening. Latterly, I got into gardening since I retired more, and there we are, and involved with the church and that sort of thing. So there we are. That's the story of my life. I haven't done much, but then there it was.
And how about the Red Cross, son?
And the Red Cross.
When did you join that?
When did we join the Red Cross, dear? You'd had 40 years here.
I did 40 years.
5 years ago.
I thought 40 years wasn't a bad little...
No, that's right. Yeah. And I had... Because you used... There was a chap called Ken Gray.
I remember Ken. Yeah.
You remember Ken and Elsie Gray. They were great in Red Cross.
Yeah.
And they got Betty in as involved in some sort of a secretary to start with, wasn't it, or something?
Oh, yes. I was always going to meetings.
And you were always going to meetings with dear Esther. There's the fallout with Esther. I was home then, Betty, they were busy in the farm, and they said, well, we got a minibus coming. We badly need people to drive it, sort of thing, because they bought their own minibus and borrowed that sort of thing. It all fizzled out in the end when everything had to be under county control rather than locally sort of thing. That's what killed it. But now they're in another, it is a shame, really.
Were you on call at all? Because I know Father in St. John's, he'd be on call at night times.
No, we weren't. We used to do engagements. We didn't have that, did
First
we?
Aid duty,
First aid, we? Yeah. Like Royal Cornwall Show.
Yeah, that's right. Show. That's right.
Yeah.
And local affairs we would go to, see. Well, and traction engine rallies and things like that, and lifeboat launchings and all that sort of thing, we should be there.
Yeah. Because I know when I was younger, 1 year... St. John would be Thursday and Saturday, Red Cross on the Friday, and the next year it would swap.
That's so right, that's
Red
right,
Cross
yeah.
would be Thursday and the Saturday.
That's right, that's it, that's it.
Yeah.
That was good. It was a lovely companionship with all of us in that sort of thing, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't, wasn't very keen on being up the the western end in an ambulance parked there watching the judging horse judging rigs all the day. I liked it when I was down the bottom where the traction engine was. That's where I was happy.
Yeah.
But
is there still a Red Cross locally now then or no? Because they're in St John in Weybridge anymore.
They folded up. There isn't anything in Cornwall now. I don't think there's there. So. I don't think they've even got a hiring out equipment.
No.
Seats and wheelchairs and all that sort of thing. Tis all got too complicated. We used to do it all on our own, see?
Yeah.
And then... then the regulations come in, oh, no, you can't use a wheelchair where somebody's...
Well, used to do medical loan. I mean, Mike and Wendy Higman.
Oh, yeah, the Higmans in Drabone.
They were really good on that.
They got us involved in it sort of thing. We had a good cadet force, didn't they? And then Rose Johns conducted. And then that was stopped because of... child protection and all these sort of things stopped at all. See, then there wasn't young ones coming on to do these things.
No, of course.
That did cause complications.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
It ruined it. There are a lot of things in this world that have improved, but there's quite a few things that don't seem to have.
Yeah. Life in shop at St. Mirren then. What shops were in the village when you were younger than compared to today?
There was the grocer's shop was actually on the corner. There was a post office.
Right.
I always remember that. I think that came in soon after I was born.
Yeah.
And the grocer's shop was the other side, which is now a surf shop. The garage was put there, which was Arbenz's garage at one time.
Right.
Well, we had two garages and another Hawkins over on the turn-in, which were eventually took over by Hawkins in Weybridge before they packed up sort of thing.
Yeah.
And a shoemaker.
Right.
Shoemaker. Mr. Bascombe, he was there. Another side, there's two grocery shops. It was Biddick's, T.M. Biddick's, David Biddick's father. Was the other side, and he was greengrocer and grocers as well. And when I was young, there was T.M. Keat, the builder, where the chippy is now.
Oh, yes.
T.M. Keat, his son, Ern, was in Snizzy Band.
Yeah.
Ern Keat.
I remember it.
Yeah. Ern Keat, he was a character, he really was. I think that's it. I can't think. Oh, and Butcher Keith. Or Butcher Stevens, as it was in our young day, and they had their own abattoir in Kirkcaldy Road, which is derelict there now, but they're still there. You can see the sense of it. When I was on the council, somebody wanted to buy this abattoir building and do it up. I thought it was a good idea, but I think the parish council approved of it, but the county council turned it down because it was... to his building in the wrong place, and now it's just there, an eyesore sort of thing.
Yeah.
Never been done nothing to.
No.
Well, they've sort of blocked it off sort of thing, but that's all. Yeah. But so we had the full butcher, the greengrocer. In the old days, the garage was big business charging batteries for people for their radios and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Batteries and accumulators.
And doctor, would that come from... Padster, or?
Yes, there was no doctor in St. Mirren when I was born. It was always the two doctors in Padster, Dr. Sherville's the first one I remember, and I think the first one was Dr. Sargent, but I don't remember him. I remember hearing the talk about it, Dr. Sheldon, then Dr. Alkin set up in St. Mirren, but that was quite a while after, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And now we got a vet as well, of course.
Yes.
A branch from St. Column. And all the cafes and that.
Yeah.
The two farmers was always the same. And the Cornish was always the same. The farmers was an alehouse at one time. You couldn't get spirits or anything. You could get wine, but you couldn't get spirits. Cornish was held by Les Hawken, who was church warden for 40 years down St. Mirren Church with the Cornish Arms St. Mirren. That was the first pub I was ever thrown out of. Don't talk about that sort of thing. You know.
Oh, lovely.
He's never told me what he did.
It's all buried in the time now, and it's a job to remember what it was. It was some cause of causing a fracas or something. That was in the old days when pubs used to close at 10 o'clock you know. And I say the farmers was where the singing was.
Right.
Because we could sing in there, but they couldn't sing down the Cornish because you had to have a license. You had to pay 7 and 6 a year to have a license to sing or something, far as I can remember.
Yeah.
I can remember just the day when a pint of beer was 10p in the old money.
Get away.
And that's, I always remember years. I don't remember it in St. Marin so much because I'd be a bit careful up there because everybody knew me age and gear. But I'd go in Padsta, and we used to be in, David Hill, who was my best man in the latter years. He's dead and gone now. He was up in Newcastle. And we used to go into the pictures in the cinema in Padsta.
Yeah.
And when the Movie Town News came on, we would go out and we'd cross the road into the Golden Lion, into the little jug and bottle entrance there. And there was a dear old lady called Mrs. Cooch used to run it. I don't know what her name was, Mrs. Cooch. And we'd go in there and we'd say, oh, 2 pints of beer, Mrs. Cooch. I ain't allowed to sell you, boys. You're underage. You're not allowed to drink. And I'm not allowed to serve it. And you're not allowed to have it. You're not. And she would go on for about 5 minutes and she'd and drink up and be gone. She would never refuse to serve us. But we always had this lecture about how evil it was, sort of thing. I always remember that. But that was 10p, because I remember when it went up to a shilling, we boys, well, there was friends of ours, they've nearly all gone, the Kent family, who were they? Jim Kent, Frank Kent, Bob Kent, Walter Kent, all they, Prowses from St. Irvine, and various ones.
Priced itself out of the market, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they've all gone. We said, oh, we can't afford that amount of money now. We shall have to give it up, but of course we never did. And now you think of it, the price, when you think of a pint of beer is about £4 now, it's ridiculous. And there you are, what keeps the country going, I suppose.
Did you have to go church then, or Sunday school when you was young, was that?
No, I never went to Sunday school. I used to go to church a bit.
Yeah.
But there was nothing else. They had Sunday schools later, but I didn't actually go to any.
No.
I don't know. I suppose it was a bit difficult, and we was one end of the parish, the church was the other end. It was a bit too far to walk, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would have had to be taken, and people didn't take their kids around in the cars like they do nowadays, sort of thing, in this. Really, did they? But they had Sunday schools when our boys started, but not when I was there, as far as I can remember.
No.
There he is again. Look, he's gone in to have a bit more.
Yeah. Lovely, isn't it? Well, I think we've covered a lot today, really, haven't we?
A lot of ground.
Well, I don't think I've done anything interesting, sort of thing. Well, not of interest to other people, anyhow. It was interest to me. But
because your life is like mine, really. You started farming, and that was it. Well, me with undertaking, and that's it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's right. You do. You take it on.
Yeah.
You can only tell it as it was.
Yeah.
That's all you can.
Of course, the village have changed so much these days.
Oh, it has. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We knew everybody. Everybody had a field or a bit of land. You know who the owner was. Now you don't know who owns anything. What?
No. And the holiday trade is a big trade.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We couldn't live without it.
It kept us going.
No. Yeah. We if it wasn't for the holiday trade, we wouldn't have we probably wouldn't have a proper grocery shop in St. Marin. Everybody would have to go to Tesco's or something, I suppose.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. It's very fortunate. Yeah. And we're particularly lucky because we've chosen a place so that we can walk down to the village, whereas if it was a bit further, you wouldn't be able to, sort of thing, you know.
Well, that's very good. Well, I Can't think of anything else to say, can you?
No, I can't think of anything. I don't no? think of...
I mean, if we do, I'll always come down and do another episode.
Oh,
in 10 years' time.
Promises.
I don't think that's going to work somehow. I should remember then. I should probably say it all wrong. You'll say, well, I didn't know what you said the time before.
But, lovely. So,
yeah, wrap it up now.
We'll wrap it up now. Lovely. Well, thank you, Jerry. Really enjoyed it. Aunt Betty as well this afternoon to have been proper. If you'd like to say goodbye to everybody.
Oh, well, I'll say goodbye. Anybody that's had time to waste enough to sit down and listen to us, well, all well and good. If you've enjoyed it, I've enjoyed talking to you anyhow.
So, proper job. There it is. It's been good.
Proper.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, wasn't that proper? Absolutely brilliant. Thank you again to Jerry and Betty. I love doing these interviews. I could talk to all these people all day, really. Proper. I thought for me Cornish dialect of the week and me Cornish word, I'd use the same word this week. Now, if you listened to last week's with Jerry, if you haven't heard it, you can always go back and listen to previous episodes. Right near the end, he was talking about when he was driving and if you hit your car, he said cars didn't have MOTs and if you hit your car and you dented it, you would just knock the dents out again. But he didn't say it quite like that. He said, if you had a dent, you bowed it out straight. And that'll be me Cornish dialect for the week, bow. Because remember, if you knock something out, if you hit something, you bow at it, you bow. So I thought that's what I do for me Cornish dialect. And bow is also a word in Cornish language, which means mine, as in like a tin mine. And also I expect you've heard of the bow maidens. There's classic photos of these bow maidens, which is young maids that used to work on the mines years ago. And so I thought that's what I would do. Same word for both, bow. So there we go. B-A-L, tis, by the way. B-A-L. Right, well, I'm going to leave you there. And I hope you have a good weekend. Next week, it's going to be a bit tight because tis a short week because we got Good Friday. And I've got a busy week, but I will try and get an interview in somewhere. I am sussed out quite who it's going to be yet, but hopefully I'll get it sorted anyway. But I'll leave you for now. Wish you well. Do Guinness. Kernobus Ficken.